86 Hammond Street in Bangor, right between Brahma Grill and Fiddlehead Restaurant. And Crossroads Beverage Company, 19 Moosehead Trail in Newport. Eric Meehan's here in studio with us. Hello there, sir.
Hello again. How's everything?
Fabulous. Yourself?
Nice. I'm great. As I was telling you before, I'm going to play some rock and roll after this practice. We got a couple gigs coming up in the new year. I always think it's inevitable. I'm sure you identify.
New school
is the new year.
Yeah,
it's like,
absolutely.
Yeah, I don't measure it in December, January terms.
And so you got to learn some new songs, huh?
Yeah, we got some tough ones, but I don't know. Those are always the fun ones, you know. So I can't just play three chords and the truth, you know. I got to play three chords and some tough riffs and some vague lies. I don't know.
They'll be truth. They'll always truth.
Sometimes. Truthfully, we're here to talk about wine. I'll remind everybody, we've been discussing Spain for this entire fair month of August, and today will be the last day that we're in Spain. We have another Tuesday, never fear, but we haven't touched Portugal yet, so we're going to hit Portugal next week as we sort of do the Iberian Peninsula thing, and then in September we head over to North America with a focus on California for September,
fantastic.
So any California fans, keep up. Today, I'm going to do the near impossible thing of trying to cover the rest of the important red grapes from Spain. There are other important white grapes, but we kind of touched on a lot of those. But in general, Spanish reds are one of those, why don't more people like them? And for the past 5 years, people have actually been all about Spanish wine. So it's like rosé to me. It's like, oh, finally, you're getting it. Come on. Yes, more. And some fabulous Spanish importers have popped up in Spain. They've been around for, you know, a decade, 15 years now, but are finally getting into Spain. And the wine that we have tonight, again, a fairly new entrant. It's a Garnacha. Mm-hmm. But we'll talk about that. So today is entitled Garnacha, Monastrell, and the Other Notable Reds in Red Regions of Spain. Isn't that lovely and formal?
Yes.
I did want to talk sort of, you know, I touched on just now why I was so interested in people picking up on Spanish reds. And the fact of the matter is, I don't have to tell anybody that the price of wine and everything else has been going up steadily. And Spain has been and remains one of the great value areas. And they have sort of what I've dubbed the value belt. I have a lot of belts going on in this Spanish thing, but it does seem to sort of follow a trend. And actually, the trend it will follow, if you'll follow me on this, is railways. The railways, and we'll touch on this when we come specifically to Argentina and countries like that, that they really only got opened up to the international wine trade because of railways. So if anybody has ever landed in Madrid, fabulous, and you drive out of Madrid and you see that you're sort of on this giant plateau, very sort of, not even rolling, very flat, covered with vines, covered with other what they call cereals, so wheats, grains, things like that, very fertile. But the ground, because it's fertile, is not generally regarded as great for vines, because vines really like to struggle and like poor soil. But in some of the poorer soils, and then getting up into some of the hillsides, you do find really, really excellent wines. So things like the appellation of La Mancha, Vinos de Madrid is another one, which surrounds the city itself. And then a little bit farther to the north east, you have Calatayud, Carinena. These are all places where you're going to see a lot of Tempranillo, like we discussed last week, Grenache, and then some international grapes like Cabernet and Merlot, things like that, popping up in blends. But really, really worth checking out if you're still interested in obtaining decent wine for under $10.
Yes.
Yes, and it's increasingly difficult, and these are one of the only regions in the world, I think, that are still producing stuff like that. Then there's what I was calling the Garnacha belt. So Garnacha and Grenache, it's important to remember, are the same grape. They are also the same grape as Cananao in Sardinia, if anybody's ever been drinking Cananao, and I have a couple customers who are wild about it. Cananao comes from the part of Sardinia where they found, like, generally the oldest living humans, you know, per capita. They basically have Mediterranean lifestyle and drink Grenache all day. It's not so bad. But the French and the Spanish will definitely fight on, you know, whose grape Garnacha is, but sorry, French folks, all indications do seem that it comes from Spain, so it is Garnacha properly. And again, this belt really sort of extends from Rioja, which we sort of touched on last week with the Tempranillo belt. You start to see it there, and then it comes all the way up towards the Rhone Valley, and then directly south into the sea in Sardinia. Really wonderful fruit-forward wines in the best iterations. They can give you also a lot of wild herb and things like that. Certainly the most famous appellation for Grenache is in France, in Châteauneuf-du-Pape in the southern Rhone Valley. But really, really an excellent wine, and we're going to be drinking a Garnacha today. So again, this very fruit-forward, wonderful wine. Garnacha has earned the nickname La Maldita, which is the cursed one, the little cursed one. Because, as we touched on last week with Tempranillo, Spain is actually very, very high in elevation, and ripening is difficult. And Garnacha actually has quite a long ripening season, so that's why you tend to find it in the more sort of Mediterranean belt. Rioja is kind of like the last stand for it in Spain, and you don't really see it any farther west. But it's really wonderful, and we'll talk a little bit about the wine itself in a second. The other big wine that I want people to get to know, and we tasted one earlier in the year, I believe in February, it's the grape Monastrell, which in France is called Mourvèdre. You see this in southeast Spain, Jumilla, Yecla, places like this, and they tend to blend it sometimes with grapes like Syrah. But it's really wonderful, and in its better iterations can give you like a lot of dark raspberry and chocolate tones and coffee tones, and it's really wonderful. And that's a grape that I think Americans should get to know, because we like big, robust red wines, and that makes it for sure. So the wine today, like I said, La Maldita, named for the grape, so the little cursed one. This is one of a million inexpensive little Grenaches that you're going to find in the world. This one's imported by Opici Wines, which is a sort of a big concern back in my neck of the woods in New Jersey. And they started, as probably indicated by the name, in Italian wines, and they are famous for those bottles of Chianti that came in the straw and stuff like that. That's how they really made their money. But now they've branched out and are starting to bring in nice affordable wines like this. Rich, Ryan, I mean, this is what do you think? Just a nice summertime sip.
Yeah.
It's not too. I mean, even though it's 80 degrees out, it doesn't feel like it's a particularly heavy wine.
Yeah, fruity, but a little bit earthy. Yeah. But it's very bright too. I like this.
And this is the sort of wine.
I like it.
Yeah, it's done mostly in stainless steel to preserve the freshness of the fruit. Touches a little bit of American and French oak, not too much. So you get just a little touch of that opulence. But it's wonderful for pizza, pasta, things like that. Yeah. It makes your mouth water, makes you want another sip. Grenache, again, I know everybody's favorite wine is Cabernet Sauvignon and things like that. But I know Pinot Noir obviously has seen a huge spike in recent years, but get to know things like Grenache. I really think people who like Zinfandels, for instance, would love Grenache. And again, Spanish wines are still one of the best deals out there, so do take note. And as I said, we're pretty much closing up Spain here, so we'll revisit it at least next summer, if not before. But I hope everybody really sort of enjoyed it and understands the diversity of this. Kind of, it's hardly undiscovered, but it's not France or Italy, for us Americans. We don't spend a lot of time in Spain yet, but I highly recommend that also, especially if you're on a budget. Get to know the wines, the cavas and the wonderful sparkling wines that we talked about the first week, and then the beautiful whites from especially the northern coast, perfect for people here in Maine. The Albariño that we talked about, of course.
Oh, that was good.
Yeah, and you love that one. And my wife actually came. She's like, you were talking about it on the radio. I need it. So many people were enjoying that night. Ask your local favorite wine merchant. Hopefully it's us or whoever it happens to
Better be
if you're outside our listening area. Because there's killer deals. And next week, as I said, Portugal, we're going to do a lovely Vino Verde, as long as we're still in warm weather, which some people may have had. But if you haven't, grab one in preparation, grab one after, all that sort of stuff. And quickly, I want to mention that our tastings in September are definitely going to be on the third Friday and the third Wednesday. But take note that the third Friday is the 16th and the third Wednesday is the 21st. So the 21st in Bangor, and then the 16th at Crossroads Beverage in Newport, and it will be the celebration of our second anniversary, which probably is the 17th, but what the heck. And so it's going to be fantastic. I hope you can join us at one or both. And everybody stay groovy.
And I want to mention two other things from the Facebook page. You're not carrying the new Baxter Brewing backpack that's got a new look.
That's right. Yeah, God, that looks good.
Mm.
Yeah, I must say, there's, cans kind of came out, and everybody's like, cans are cool. And then everybody sort of saw the potential of like decorating cans. And then it got a little busy, but people have been really kind of going back to their original packaging and saying, how can we make this really clear and beautiful? And I think they did a fabulous job.
And I'm looking at the picture of the smoky chipotle oil and this ridiculous looking grilled cheese with chipotle sauce. And you posted the recipe.
Yeah, that. Yeah. And this the chipotle just came in. It is super fresh. It is delicious. Again, mouthwatering. You want to I mean, it develops beautifully on the palate. I mean, it's top quality product. So check it out for sure. Both stores.
Field trip.
Field trip.
There we go.
Right.
Bangor Wine and Cheese, Crossroads Beverage Company. They bring you Message in the Bottle every Tuesday here on Downtown. Thanks, Eric.
Thank you.
Have a good practice.
I will.
We'll